This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is the evening edition with Lynn and Kelvin. And as we've been saying, today is Human Rights Day. And of course, in conjunction with this event, it was a pretty event-heavy weekend last weekend. And Suhakam held the Human Rights Day Festival yesterday. It was originally supposed to be on December 9th, that was Saturday. But because of safety concerns and the anti-ICERT rally, it had to be postponed.
So the event was also supposed to be launched by Prime Minister Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad, but he later said he would not be going because Suhakam wants to accept ICERT, so how can I go? So, yeah. So today we decided it'd be nice to have Suhakam on the line with us to commemorate Human Rights Day.
So, Gerald Joseph, Commissioner of Suhakam, is joining us on the show. Gerald, welcome. To start off, talk to us about why we celebrate Human Rights Day.
We celebrate because one is human rights needs to be celebrated all the time, but the significance of the day itself is we commemorate the world over having a common standard called the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, launched in 1948, and 10 December is the day for that. And what does that document do? It basically says that all people of the world should at least have a minimum standard of dignity, a minimum standard of rights that we hope will carry through no matter where we are. So I think to commemorate this day is to remind ourselves that everybody has human rights and dignity.
So two events happened over the weekend. The first one on Saturday, which was, of course, the big rally to celebrate the government's decision not to ratify the ICERT. And the second event on Sunday, which was held by Suhakam to celebrate human rights. But the turnout for the first one was much... The turnout for the second one was much larger than the second one. Does that mean that Malaysians don't see human rights to be important?
I don't usually go by the number game because people come out for a variety of reasons. I think those who can make it will make it, and those who feel passionate about some issues will come out. But whether these are indicative that the whole nation understands, follows through, and can comprehend is something that I think we need to ask the question. So, there were two rallies, you're right. One is a large number of people that came together to say that they don't want ICERT. And the other one was Suhakam that organized a big celebration and big event to commemorate Human Rights Day. And, you know, so it was planned 3-4 months ago, and the other rally came much later. And I think some media actually started to pick it up as a counter rally. You know, Suhakam's Human Rights Day celebration was a counter rally to the ICERT, say no to ICERT rally, and that's totally wrong way of depicting the two rallies. For in as much as one is really organized to bring all Malaysians to reaffirm that Malaysia truly and definitely believes in human rights, and Malaysians as individual human beings, as community, will need human rights if they're going to go forward. And it did not specifically touch on any particular treaty or issue. It was a general human rights celebration. So what happened, the other group organized it on the same day, and they chose a specific issue on ICERT. And while the numbers for the No to ICERT rally was huge, I think this concept and understanding of human rights in Malaysia has been weak for a long, long time, because the previous government was really not interested to promote a rights framework, and many Malaysians had hoped that this government would actually take on that difficult task to bring about awareness and appreciation of human rights across the board, because I think this government won their mandate based on exposure of abuse of powers, non-respect of rights and dignity, and corruption, you know, amongst others. So when you came on that platform, then there is a big expectation for more to be done on human rights.
So did the Prime Minister's absence from Suhakam's human rights celebration weaken the message in any way?
I don't think so. You are disappointed. I mean, it would have been a great message if the government, especially the head of the government, came and reaffirmed all human rights. It was not about ISED at all. It was about all human rights for Malaysia. And you thought that this new government would take the time to come and extend human rights as it promised the people of Malaysia in its manifesto. So yeah, we are disappointed, but I don't think it weakens the celebration, neither it weakens our resolve to continue our work as the mandate of our act as a commission.
Where would you place Malaysia's position right now in terms of the human rights brief fulfilled and those that we haven't?
This new Malaysia opened up with great hopes of a long list of promises for more human rights, you know. So it's been 6 months since the new government came in place, and you know, there's already a lot of reforms and committees set up to reform the laws, abolish the laws, like at least the Fake News Act was abolished in the lower house. So in terms of respect, that the rule of law must be the game of the day. No abuse of power should be allowed, and people's rights and dignity, even for those detained, should be given to all. So I think there is a tacit agreement that this is what human rights is for all in one place. And then if you go through this government's promises in a more detail, then you'll see a lot of discussion about protecting rights of indigenous people to their land rights, you know, to elevate poverty, to work out the difficult situation of the statelessness issue in Sabah, those without the documents. And it even goes further to even say that we need to do something about the migrant workers here, the millions of migrant workers who are not getting their dues, who are exploited, and also foreigners like refugees who are coming here. Even that in the manifesto, there is promise that they should be allowed to work. So I think broadly there's a framework of rights that is coming to place. What now the question is that is this implementation going to be slowed down or going to be reversed because of political reactions based on, it could be based on party politics, it could be based on race, religion. I think for me that is the worry. I mean, in terms of nitty-gritty, I think by and large there's a strong movement towards better compliance and less. But I think we are just fairly new off the ground after 6 months, and I really hope that the government will keep up to its commitment.
Is there, I mean, we've been asking this question and having this conversation for a while now, it feels like. Is there a disconnect between the international definition of human rights on the one hand and the Malaysian understanding of what human rights are?
I think one word that is very famously used is this word that we believe in human rights, but we want to follow Acuan Malaysia, you know, the Malaysian mold. That's a word that I don't quite like because human rights must be universal. And it works for Malaysians who go travel overseas, and something happens to Malaysian, we will react. How dare that country treats our citizen badly. So that means there is a universality to the concept of minimum human rights. So when you say that Malaysian understanding of human rights are different, it only says that we've not had a deeper discourse on what human rights means. I'm not saying it's not difficult or not complicated. It is. Every country has complications. No country in the world I can think of has a perfect record of human rights. They may excel in some and they could be weak on others. And that's why I would like to reaffirm the international definition of human rights is no different from the Malaysian definition of human rights, because we have it in our constitution. We speak about equality, we speak about non-discrimination, we speak about the right to rights of citizens. So I don't see a disjoint. I see a difference in application. And if there is a lack of understanding, then I look at the government. That's why this government needs to take human rights awareness and education much more seriously. We cannot just mouth promises without creating an environment and enabling a context where Malaysians now feel like this human rights is a Malaysian human right and it's no different from universal human rights. And I hope that we can move in that direction, rather pit one against the other.
Is there a need to include human rights in school curriculum?
I think that's a real good question, because the commission, SOACAM, has been trying to convince the Ministry of Education in the old government, and now we continue with the new government. I think we're meeting the Minister of Education next week or this week. And that's because we think human rights should be embedded as a specific subject matter in the school curriculum. So from young, a child, a student is taught to be comfortable and understand what rights is. And when you understand that you would respect the rights of the other, and you understand that you will understand that discrimination has no place in our society, and when you understand rights, then you will take on application in difficult situations in a much better way. Because I know that if that person looks different from me, that orang asli kid is in my school, that doesn't mean I have a right to bully or, you know, say something negative or shout down a person. So human rights education must come into school as soon as possible, and it must give the space for discussion on respecting one another, because these values in human rights actually grow a person to maturity in terms of understanding the world may be different, but the dignity of that person is same all across, and respect must be accorded to all. But I think the application of trying to do a curriculum is slow, and I hope that the ministry and the minister will take this on board in the review and revamp of the curriculum, because the commission has already prepared a whole series of modules for the education ministry in order for it to even start embedding some of it already in its present curriculum.
So, referring to statements like, hey, smokers have rights too, let's kind of try and break this down. What is a good guideline as to what constitutes a human right and what doesn't?
Human right is what comes from the day you were born. And of course, the articulation is already now quite clearly defined in terms of both international law and national law. Does that mean that anyone has the freedom to do anything? Of course not. I mean, your right does not give you the right to actually take away the right of another person. You know, for example, you can't punch another person, although you feel like stretching out your hand, you know, and swing your hand wildly. You can do that freely as long as you don't touch the other person. Similarly, to a smoker who wants to have that feel to enjoy his or her smoke, then this person should do it in a place or space where it doesn't impact another person, because others have a right and they don't want to be impacted by tertiary exposure to smoke. And smokers also need to be cautioned that there is a cost to their health, although it may not be as lethal as, like drinking poison or something, but there is still a cost. So government has a duty to advise the smokers, and government has a duty to also try to educate smokers on how to, you know, what's the dangers of it. But ultimately, this is their individual choice, and that choice should not impact the others. While we always say that one right does not give you the right to take away the right of the others, but sometimes there is contest between the two rights, we always feel that a reasonable measure can be found that these two rights can stand side by side. And that's the role of the government, really. When there is two groups opposing, you will always find a way to ensure that both sides can feel like their rights are respected. But that doesn't give anyone a license to just, you know, take a car and drive across the highway in the opposite direction and be a danger to the others. It doesn't give a right to a developer to go and steal land from the indigenous people. Because while you're doing it in the name of development, there are still others who have pre-owned the land from generations before. So these are the complexity of human rights that we'll need time to discuss. But I think in good faith, any government can find solutions to enable both sets of people to still exercise their rights in terms of land dispute. And even both sets of people who feel the one is loves their secret so much and the other one says, no, please don't do it at my expense. And we must find a way to make sure that the other person is not jeopardized by another person's action.
Gerald, thank you for joining us on the show. That was Commissioner of Suhakam Gerald Joseph speaking to us about human rights, because it is Human Rights Day today. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.